Well, in Celebrate Recovery, we call it step four or principle four, where we honestly evaluate those parts of our story that can make sense of why we do what we do, who we are, and why we might respond to the world and others the way we do. And this lens of honesty and honoring, and what are those, and what's the differences between those as it relates to our family of origin and our family system, our inventory, our spiritual inventory, our honest spiritual inventory as we walk through this process. Today, we're going to unpack that a little bit together as brothers in Christ. Welcome to Hope and Recovery, a Fellowship Celebrate Recovery podcast that brings hope and healing for our mental, spiritual, emotional, and relational journey through life change stories and recovery topics, all centered around the Beatitudes, Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5, and the Celebrate Recovery principles, where Jesus has given us a guide to face those hurts that get us stuck and some of those nasty core beliefs that we develop about God, about ourselves, about our circumstances that inevitably lead to some unhealthy coping strategies that create division and separation between us and God and those people that are closest to us in our life. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with drugs and alcohol and perfectionism. My name is Rodney. I'm the pastor of Celebrate Recovery Rogers. Celebrate Recovery, and it's so good to be back with you here today. Thank you, as always. More and more of you are helping us out with this. Give us a 5-star rating if you like what you're hearing, and be sure to share this wherever you listen, whatever platform you listen to us for this podcast. Thanks for the feedback and the topic ideas. We're grateful for that. But grateful to have a brother in Christ with me today. You guys know him. He's a ministry leader at Fellowship Fayetteville Celebrate Recovery. Andy, welcome, man.
Hey, Rodney.
Hey, glad, man. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, Let's jump in. Hey, y'all. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. I struggle with anxiety and depression, sexual addiction, and grief. And my name's Andy.
Hey, Andy. So, Andy, we were just unpacking, wanted to bring this to the podcast, family of origin. And through that, you know, this spiritual inventory can be scary, but it's so important to organize our story, to understand why we do what we do, not to justify our behavior, but to understand. And a big part of that inventory process is getting honest about the things that have happened in our life. And just through this, you and I have done some the same reading around this topic, but the difference between honesty and honoring and realizing that that's not necessarily the same thing. What hits you as we throw that on the table there?
Yeah. Well, I think for me in this season, I feel like I'm relearning a lot of different things, just kind of as I'm stepping into recovery and feel like God's pulling away a new layer in there. But that idea of honesty and honoring, and even that broader idea that you were talking about of stepping into our story with curiosity mm-hmm. in there, you know, just me personally, just been seeing some things in my life as I'm stepping into this season that have kind of taken me a little off guard. I've been a little bit more angry recently. I feel like there's been some resentments that I've had in my heart. I've noticed different areas in my life where I'm going, man, what's going on there? Mm-hmm. And as I've dug into some of those things, I've started to realize that just like you said, we don't want to justify the behaviors, but there's really good reasons why those things are going on. Mm-hmm. And can I give myself the dignity of giving myself some curiosity and kindness in that place? And I've noticed that that's really hard for me to do. Mm-hmm. It's really hard for me to be kind towards myself. I tend to be really, really self-judgmental and kind of rigid with myself. People tell me I have some perfectionistic tendencies. but as I realized that, I started wondering, why is that? Mm-hmm. And this idea, I've heard you say it for years and been chewing on it in this season, that idea of being honest and honoring, and that those two things are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
And so I think for me specifically in my story, that can I be honest about the pain in my life mm-hmm. and know that as I'm honest, it doesn't denigrate my value or the value of others in my life.
Yeah, I'm not trying to tear my family of origin down, right? I mean, we can have great, and this is a good reminder that even in the healthiest of families by, you know, if you think, what's a healthy family? Think of that family. Even in those healthy families, that picture that comes to mind, there's always going to be hurt because we live in a broken world. We're going to hurt people. My kids, I think, grew up in a relatively healthy home, but I hurt them, and they need to have space to be able to say, this, when you did this, it made me feel this, right? And to understand that. But I'd love to lean into, before we turn that corner, you said something about it, I can become very critical of myself. Right. Yeah. And what have you learned as you're getting honest about your story of why is it hard for you to show yourself that compassion? What are you learning about Andy in that space that makes it hard to receive that and give that to yourself?
Yeah. You know, it's there's a lot I've been learning about that spot. I think one of those things is and just to preface this, I love my family of origin.
Of course, yeah. We know that. There's not a bone in your body trying to blame, right?
Yeah, and I'm really grateful for that. But it seems like everybody plays a bit of a role in the family that they grow up in. And for me, my role was being the really well-behaved, smart kid.
Mm.
And what's interesting is that wasn't really a role that was thrust upon me.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that I just naturally kind of stumbled into probably when I was in elementary school, just kind of as I'm discovering, hey, I'm good at school and, hey, you know, I'm getting in trouble less often than maybe my brothers are. and so I started to realize that when those things happened, I got the approval that I liked. And I got attention. I'm a middle child, and so, you know, some people chalk that type of stuff up to that. But I think it's a real thing that I found some value and affirmation that I was really craving in those things. But then the reality whenever I didn't measure up to those standards. And so before I was even really conscious of it, I was coming up with this idea of who Andy needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized that unintentionally I've carried that in a lot of places in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, if you were to ask me who Andy should be, I could tell you an idea of that.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'd ever measure up to that.
Yeah.
And starting to realize that that's been something that I developed really young and was reinforced a lot throughout the course of my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's, that's good. And there's a couple common things that I've seen with guys mentoring, even in my own story that I've learned about this, is one of those things that keeps us from receiving, showing ourselves that compassion is there can be a tendency to feel like, well, I'm going to get lazy and complacent.
Yep.
Right. If I allow myself to feel that, what if I just get too comfy with that and then I stop being driven in life? And then my biggest fear is like, oh my gosh, my whole life's going to fall apart, right?
Yeah.
So that's one of them. But then the other one is, what if I receive that from another person or myself and I never get that again?
Yeah.
It's like, man, maybe it's safer for me to just keep you at, scare you away with my big, you know, anger outburst, or just not take in what you have to share with me. Because if I take this in, you know, the fear of not receiving that again just feels like too much. So it's better to keep you at arm's length, which now I'm not connecting with people the way community should be, or with God the way I should be, right?
Yeah.
Those are things can kind of keep us from experiencing God's design for us.
Yeah, man, it's interesting. And even as you're describing that, I'm kind of trying that on in my heart a little bit, because like I said, I'm still in process in this area, but you know, I think that resonates a lot with my fear of rejection that I carry with me in my life. you know, it's hard for me to be kind to myself when I fail because it feels unacceptable for me to fail.
Yeah.
And if I come to you in the midst of me feeling at my lowest and you actually catch me there, that feels like a rare thing. That feels like a risky thing. Hmm. And sometimes it's easier not to risk it.
Yeah.
And just cover it up and keep going.
Yeah. Well, and that speaks back to the honest and honoring process, that is trying to understand, why am I the way I am, right? Why do I bump? Why do I get big and loud with people? Why did those type of situations trigger me in significant ways, right? It's trying to take responsibility for that, right? Yeah. Even if we've grown up in a healthy home and we've been hurt, kind of a thing, we still have a responsibility. My responsibility is not what happened to me, but what I do with it. And that a big part of this responsibility in the inventory process is to understand why those things happen. Now we're getting into the history, right, of who did it, what did they do, and what was the damage and the effect that leads to my part that I got to take responsibility for. But why is it hard for me to receive a compliment or a love and, you know, care from someone close to me, my wife or, you know, a team, you know, comrade, whatever, but trying to understand, what is it about me that why is that coming out that way? Yeah. To kind of go back to some of those pain points.
Yeah. Oh man, there was just so much in what you just said. And I want to kick back to that idea of the responsibility part of it. I think just recently I was processing through just a wound that I had from when I was 8, when I was exposed to pornography from a family member, and just kind of journaling out the reality of, like, as an 8-year-old, it's so hard for me to understand what happened there. It wasn't fair. It shouldn't have been thrust upon me like that. But now at 32 years old, like, while I wasn't responsible for it, it is now my responsibility to step into that place and to allow myself to be honest with the fact that happened.
Yeah.
And that hurt. And I think when those wounds happen, so often in my life, I've seen that pattern of, it hurt. I don't know what to do with this, and I don't know who to bring this to. And so I can't receive love in a place that I'm not willing to acknowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. Naming it is critical. So that honoring and honesty, being honest and honoring, and maybe they're not the same thing. What's the differences in those two, and what's the similarities in your mind?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you what I learned, which I don't think was the right thing.
Okay.
But I thought honesty, and I think this is pretty true. Well, I'll say this with honoring. I thought growing up that honoring was only looking at the positive parts of someone or something, and so that we don't disrespect, in particular, the memory of someone or the dignity of someone, we don't bring up mistakes. We don't bring up failures. We don't talk about that. They're not something that we learn from. They're just something that we just kind of let's push on by and not really look at that. But man, there's all these other great things in there. And I learned to do that with myself.
Positivity.
Yeah. Positivity is, so long as we're not bringing up pain or hurt or failures or mistakes. And I don't think that's what honoring is now.
Right.
I would say honesty is being willing to tell the whole truth. Being willing to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Not in a way that is vindictive or hurtful, but just being able to acknowledge the truth and share it. And then honoring is, while I'm holding up the honesty aspect, recognizing that if I'm talking about somebody else that I love dearly, that maybe there's some pain.
Mm-hmm.
I do so understanding that I'm a broken person too.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there are those good parts about that person. So it's being able to hold two truths in tension, and they're very similar.
Mm.
They're far more similar than I thought they were different growing up. Yeah,
that's good. Well, let's keep that thought going when we come back. Take a quick break here, talking with Andy Petrie, our ministry leader down at Fellowship Fayetteville CR. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation around the differences and similarities around honesty and honoring. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Hey, friends, if you're looking for a meeting, we've got two great meetings at Fellowship Fayetteville, Fellowship Rogers, same time, same schedule, Friday night, 6 p.m. Connection Cafe meal, and then we go into our general meeting at 7 p.m. But I also want to let you know we've got some great Celebrate Recoveries in the area. We've got a list of those on our website. Go to fellowshipcr.org and find a list of many days of the week that you can find a meeting. We'd love for you to be a part of that here in Northwest Arkansas. Fellowshipcr.org for more information. Welcome back, Andy. Right before break, we were talking about just the similarities and the comparison. So just honoring that all parts of that person in your family system. How is honoring play into yourself, right? Mm. When you're honest, how's that honoring you when you get honest? What are you learning about you in that?
Oh man, so I think that same dynamic that we talked about before break was and still is really strongly entrenched in my heart.
Mm.
There still is a fear that if I'm really honest about the genuine state of the brokenness of my heart,
mm-hmm.
Then there's not a lot to celebrate there.
Mm.
But I think, and I get emotional just thinking about it, but
yeah.
I think I'm learning that as I'm willing to be honest about every area of my heart,
mm-hmm.
There are pieces of my heart that I've missed.
Hmm.
And that maybe as I'm starting to recognize, man, I'm hurting this way,
mm-hmm.
or man, I've got a really short temper.
Yeah.
In that, in my previous understanding of honoring, I would shame that, in particular with anger. I would shame that anger,
mm-hmm.
and shut it down and try and push forward. But as I'm learning to go, hey, this is there.
Mm-hmm.
I really struggle with, in particular, anger is the one that's resonated the most in my heart right now. As I'm understanding that there is some anger in there.
Mm-hmm.
I can be an angry guy at times. And being honoring allows me to go, all right, that's there.
Yeah.
But it's there for a reason.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a part of my heart in there, and what I'm realizing is underneath so much of the anger that I've carried in my life,
mm-hmm.
is a desire to be seen,
yeah.
understood, and loved. And if I'm not willing to be honest about the anger that I'm seeing,
mm-hmm.
then there's a part of the longing of my heart that yeah. never gets seen and met.
Yeah, we talk about that. I mean, in that process, especially in the damage and the effect, you're noticing what comes up for us, what comes up for you when you're leaning into those parts of your story that bring up pain. We're inviting them in, we're organizing them, we're honoring them. And we've talked about that even on some of our teacher planning calls, you know, that honoring doesn't sound right. It's like, I'm honoring this pain. and honoring, really, you're just saying, hey, I'm not going to ignore you anymore.
Yeah.
And a lot of times anger is an ignoring of what's underneath, right? The anger becomes the defense mechanism. And as you were talking, I was thinking about just how, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where somebody's mad at you, but they're not telling you they're mad at you, but you can just tell. It's like, or you see that in your spouse is like, ooh, you're not saying that you're upset. Oh, I'm fine. But something's not fine, right? And, you know, when I think about our family of origin, you know, our getting honest about our pain can be very honoring because it removes this barrier that may be creating disconnection, and they don't know why we're disconnected emotionally, right? We're honoring that so that we can repair that and help grow the bond between us. And so that's a very honoring thing. The dishonoring part is to act like there's nothing there or even minimize the pain.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did that with my own family system. It's like, well, they did the best they can. They had their own bad childhood, which is probably true, but it doesn't change the fact that it still hurts.
Yeah.
I have to organize that.
Well, and that thought right there that you just said, hey, they did the best they could. They, you know, they had their own past too. Those are true things. And I'm realizing this in my story because I've done the exact same thing in so many parts of my story with my family of origin. Is like, are those things true? Yeah, they're true. But what I've noticed is that I've jumped to that without acknowledging wounds that I'm carrying.
Mm.
And, you know, we say it all the time in Celebrate Recovery. You know, you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. You know, there's healing in the revealing. It's almost like there's a reason why we have all of these one-liners in recovery.
Yeah, they sound so cliche, but they're true statements.
Yeah. And like, and I think you said it so well. I in particular noticed that there were parts of my heart that were hardened towards certain people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm operating out of that idea of like, well, I guess they just did the best they could. Mm-hmm. They had a hard time too. This is just kind of what it is. That sounds a whole lot like resignation rather than healing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm willing to be honest about like the whole story, the whole story is, yeah, they had a hard upbringing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also there's a part of me that's wounded.
Yeah.
And I can't fully accept the context that that person lived in and have full compassion for them until I'm willing to extend compassion to myself and my woundedness.
Yeah. Yeah, because otherwise we can, and I've had family members fall into this, where we can get in this mindset that we can justify our behavior, our anger, our resentment, which is not healthy. I mean, anger in itself is not bad, but the unhealthy, toxic, where we're using it as a tool or a bullet to fire against somebody is where it gets unhealthy. But we can use it as justification, right? Well, it's because you did this that I'm this way. And while there may be truth in that's why you're hurting and you're reacting this way, it's not their responsibility how you're dealing with it.
Yeah.
And so my part is to, I've got to own this pain, honor it, organize it, get honest with it so that I can change the way I react and bump into them and to new relationships. Because you can think, well, I'm just going to treat them that way, the one that hurt me from my past. But what ends up happening is it bleeds over into today's relationships or tomorrow's relationships. And now I'm reacting to new relationships the way I reacted to them because I feel justified. And now I'm creating this ripple effect of dysfunction.
Well, man, you got to stop reading my journal, man. Because I feel like I've been doing that in my life with some relationships. And it's funny when I look at that, you know, as somebody who struggled with addiction, like I struggle with taking responsibility for my pain and the subsequent actions that come from that. And so it's kind of funny how it's a similar pattern.
But
it reminds me of that. Like I have to be willing to own, not responsibility. Like if I've been abused, I don't need to own responsibility for the act of the abuse.
But
I do need to own responsibility that the pain's there. And it's going to stay there until I'm willing to honor it, to give it proper attention that it deserves.
Yeah.
So that I can heal. And that, I heard a phrase recently that's just really resonated with me. Pain minimized is pain multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I shove that down, like you were saying, it's going to kick out in all of my other relationships.
Yeah. Well, and I think the being honest about the pain, I've talked about this with conflict resolution and having hard conversations at recent training conferences, use the example of if I went through, ran a stop sign, and I honestly did not mean to run the stop sign. Sometimes, well, I don't. But you probably, no, maybe it's a rolling stop or whatever. I know I've been guilty of that, but I, maybe my head was in the clouds. I'm thinking about what am I doing tonight, you know, kind of thing. And I missed the stop sign, but I hit somebody. Mm. I didn't mean to do that, right? So they say, well, you hit me. Well, I didn't mean to. Right. Yeah. So that's one side of it. The other side of it, and I think it just made me think of this, and I didn't share this on the conferences, but sometimes because we've been hurt, and even if they didn't mean to, we can buy into the notion, sometimes this is God and others, that if I was hit in the intersection, that must say something about me.
Yep.
Right. Oof. God must be punishing me, or he must not love me, or your motives, you really did intend to hurt me. And so then we have this kind of this false understanding of relationships that everybody is out to get me. Because men hurt me, that means all men will hurt me the rest of my life, right?
Yeah.
And it's because that pain has not been metabolized or broken down or grieved or whatever. And if I can't own that and break that down, it's going to affect future relationships, which gets to the core beliefs and the shame and all that stuff.
Yeah. And as you're talking about that, you've had a lot of experience walking with people, so I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I feel like there's two ways that idea of everybody's out to get me can manifest.
Mm-hmm.
It's this highly defensive, very reactional of like, anytime that there's a perceived slight,
yeah,
it's gonna
disagreement.
It's gonna demand a response and a strong one to shut down any sense that I might be inferior.
Yeah,
and then there's the one, because I grew up shaming my anger so much that I think I fell into. It was this resignation, and I'm just gonna turn that anger inward at myself.
Mm-hmm.
It must be because of something that I've done. You have every right to be angry at me.
And this is the resignation. This is as good as it's going to get.
Yes.
This is my story. This is my legacy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's good. I mean, it's hard to lean in that. I mean, holding both those spaces, I mean, make no mistake about it. It's hard to kind of, ugh, I do that to myself.
Yeah.
Or this is the way I bump into the world. And these are the raw spots. But to lean into that and get honest is very honoring toward ourselves. Yeah. To honor our pain. If my leg is broke and I act like it's not broken, that's not a very honoring thing to my body. Yeah. I've got to get honest. I can keep trucking along. Maybe I even give myself some things where I numb it a little bit, where I don't realize my leg is broken, but it's going to create more damage.
Yeah.
Eventually, it's going to do much more damage than if I just addressed it. I got to address the broken bone, or it's going to start tearing my muscles and my ligaments, and I'm going to overcompensate, and now I'm going to have issues with my other side. It creates this ripple effect. And relationally, if we don't acknowledge the wound, although very hard and painful, it's only going to add to our suffering.
Yeah.
And that's I don't remember who said that. I think it was Peterson that said that, was it Jordan B. Peterson or something? He said that the healing to suffering is in the suffering. If you want to have less suffering, face it. If you want to add to your suffering, ignore it.
Oh, yeah.
it's like,
gosh.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, this is hurt. Let's call it what it is. We're not minimizing the pain. This is very hard. But if you want to add to your suffering, avoid it. Keep ignoring it, and you're going to add to your suffering. It's like, oh, yeah, I don't want that.
That's so good, man. Yeah, it's true. And I think one of the biggest lies that, especially if we've grown up thinking that honoring means that we only look at the positive side of it,
yeah,
then it has primed us to be really resistant towards looking at the hard things, looking at the pain, stepping into suffering. And, you know, we may find ourselves struggling with tendencies, like you said, to numb that leg that's broken.
Yeah.
And I think being able to look at that and go, man, there's really good reasons why this is going on, that affords us that ability to start towing the water into being honest.
Yeah.
And knowing that healing is on the other side of honesty.
Yeah.
But honesty is going to involve stepping into the suffering.
Yeah. So, Andy, as we wrap up here, man, what... give us some hope. Somebody, maybe they're thinking, they're overwhelmed. They're thinking, man, my full story is a lot. It feels scary. Is it worth it? I mean, yeah, you're talking about leaning into this pain and understanding. Great. I understand it. But what good does that do for our life? What has that done for your life personally to get honest about the pain that's done to you? Get honest about your action tendencies that you do to yourself or how you bump into the world. How has that changed who you are today, having gone through this process? And it's an ongoing process, but the bulk of it going through the inventory. What has that been like for you to get honest and honoring?
Yeah. So there was a quote I heard recently from a guy named Dan Allender, and I'm probably going to botch the quote a little bit, but it was something along the lines of, there are places in our life and in our story that are like ancient sacred sites, these archaeological sites within our soul that we don't know the story that happened there. And if we can, with curiosity and kindness, step into those places and start excavating it, knowing that we do that with a brush and a chisel and not a bulldozer.
Right.
Then we can start to discover the story that happened there. And as I stepped into the inventory process and have done so over the years, when I do it with an attitude of humility of, maybe I don't know the full story here. Maybe there's some good reasons why I see the things that are going on right here. And God, can you walk with me through this and help me to see the parts of the story that I've missed? What I've started to see is that everything in my life makes sense. There are good reasons why things are happening that may not be the right reasons or justifications, but ultimately what it has allowed me to do, and it's funny, even just on this podcast, I talk about how I'm still self-critical and stuff. The level of my self-criticalness now is nothing compared to what it was 9 years ago.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had the ability to even speak about my self-criticalness then. But stepping into the inventory process and examining those things, it has given me a greater compassion for my story, which has allowed me to let God's compassion wash over me. Because if I can understand that there's good reasons why, and the God of the universe who knows all things and knows my story completely, I can start to believe, all right, maybe he does have some grace for me in this. And so I gain compassion for my story. I'm able to receive better compassion for Jesus. And I'm able to extend that compassion to others. And the ripple effect that I've seen is that I am much kinder to myself in everyday life. Failure is not nearly as much of a trigger as it was for me. When I got into this process, I'm able to accept others a lot more now as they are than as I wish they'd be. And even though it hasn't changed situations in my life, it's changed me. And I relate to the world in a much different way.
Yeah.
And it continues to change the way I relate to the world as I step into this life, my story, my pain with curiosity and kindness. And most importantly, inviting Jesus's curiosity and kindness to lead me in that place. And yeah, it's changed everything, man.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. Well, Andy, thanks for a great conversation, man. Yeah. It always goes so fast. you always bring a lot of great insight. And thanks for sharing part of your heart, man, being vulnerable with us today.
Yeah. But, Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, I hope this has been an encouragement for you as their listeners. And you know, it reminds me of just when we look at the cross, what do we see? We see who we are and we see what we need. And the cross is not only showing who we are, that we would need a Savior, but who we become because of Jesus Christ. And leaning into who we are and the parts of our story helps us to become who, and that's what freedom is. It's becoming who Christ has called us to be. And that's what we want for all of you. And Jesus wants that for you. In fact, so much so that he came and died for us. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. And don't ever forget that you're not alone in those spaces as you organize your story. Keep going. You're doing great. Hey, thanks so much for being with us today. More information, go to fellowshipcr.org. I hope you'll join me next time. Until then, God bless.